This is the 23rd of February, 1997. It's been a few weeks since we've had a meeting, so we're gathered to meet with the commander, and we have a whole bunch of people here from everywhere. Greetings, Commander.
Good afternoon. It's been a while. Is Judge Coyle in the audience? That's about as funny as asking Dave to give his report on his experiences. Dave, would you like to give us a rundown on what you've been through? Listen, our teams are all out there. Everybody listen very carefully to what he says, because it could happen to any one of you. And before he tells you that, I shouldn't snicker about things. She'll shut her mouth.
Well, I assume we can learn a lot from your snicker.
Well, Dave's been through some interesting experiences, and I'm going to warn everybody within earshot to be very, very careful. If you ever gave away your credit card number to Gunther Rusbacher, he's out, he's back. He has been moved from White Sands Prison to Missouri, but he has been calling to raise money. And be very careful. If you have not changed credit card numbers, be wary. He's kind of threatening, you know, well, if I can't just borrow it, I'll arrange a way, or just cute little things like that. So go ahead, Dave.
I can back that up. You don't want your numbers that identify you to get out anywhere that you don't personally control. And, I mean, things can happen where you should do things to protect your numbers and you don't, and you're going to learn a good lesson. So I can share this with you that, of course, I usually keep so clean, the police don't stop me for anything. So I didn't even know about a warrant since 1993 on a driver's license that was stolen 9 years ago. And, of course, some stupid little bank in New Mexico gives this guy a checking account on my stolen driver's license for the sake of $1,200 of hot checks. Well, I get to learn 3 weeks of hard lessons, because they pick you up. It's a felony flight warrant. It's criminal. So they lock you up in criminal court building, shackle you to murderers and rapers. I was in one jail cell where I saw three. I didn't know whether to go in jail. They separate the blacks from the Mexicans because they got all this gang issue. So I didn't know which line to go in. I figured I'll go in the Mexicans, which was a mistake because I don't understand any of that language. I don't even know what they're saying. And the blacks are my family. They're my people. So I got back with my people later. But while I was in that jail cell, three of the bigger, stronger Mexicans were kicking a fourth Mexican around on the floor like he was a hockey puck. And that was just a foot or two in front of my feet with the fist going. I mean, they scarred him good. Stitches under his eye, over his forehead, etc. And the fists are just flying this far in front of my head while I'm just sitting there being quiet and meditating very strongly on God.
Like, please, God.
And the reason they attacked this little fellow, because he was a child rapist. So somehow maybe there's justice in how all this works out, although I don't think they have the right to violently appease their own heart that way. But even in the criminal system, the boys inside, I met a lot of godly boys, a lot of people who really have that sense of Christianity. And probably half the people I talk to don't need to be in there. They've either been set up or they're in there for some kind of long prison sentences for things that just aren't that bad. So a lot of our innocent people are being taken into that system for what kind of programs, who knows what, I don't know. But I did find very strong, godly people in there. A lot of people with stories like mine that just don't need to be in there and they're not guilty. other people very definitely need to be in there. And they are absolutely guilty. And there's a lot of psychoanalysis, psychos in there. They have a whole ward for that. So I got to meet both sides. The main issue is to protect your documents. Because I had gone to a court already 8 or 9 years ago because I was stopped for a so-called rolling stop. He wasn't going to even write me a ticket. He was just checking me out at that time 9 years ago. And he asked me, you ever been arrested? I said, no. He said, you ever had a DUI? I said, no. He says, well, DMV has one right here on your record. So I ended up, had to spend a whole day with the sheriff in Orange County, Anaheim somewhere, to prove it wasn't me. He had blue eyes and I had brown, so it was my stolen driver's license. Another day to go to that court where they cleared me and said it'd be taken off my record. I didn't follow through to see to it. It was my mistake, probably, but they said they'd take it off the record. The DUI is still on there. And this warrant I have to carry a paper with me for the rest of my life saying that a court found out they got the wrong man, but that doesn't take the warrant out of the system.
Didn't get you released either.
So I'm still in the system in that sense. There may be a nice little lawsuit over this whole mess that makes it turn into a positive story. In that sense, but there was nothing positive about being in there, and there's no respect. I found more of the sense, you know, I look for God everywhere, and I found more of the spirituality in some of the boys that are inside rather than the guards. The guards don't care. I mean, I even feel a little compassion for them. We get out. Those guards never do. Go in that environment every day, and maybe some of them like it. One little Christian guard that was on one of the buses did make statements of caring about me and to go to Christ. And I always had respect for only two of those guards that were like that. The others were tough. I hadn't been down there at Central even 10 minutes when the guards were beating on some little guy. Pulled his arms up, you know, really hurt him. And they didn't need five big baboons with muscles all over the place beating on this one little guy in tennis shoes, but that's how they do it.
Your world's gone mad. It's everything is backwards. Everything. So when you start trying to rebuild, you build from what appears to be back to front or bottom. Up through. You can't even begin to hope to go forth and have demonstrations enough, be able to impress anyone enough to just swing it around. And that is what your evangelist would like for you to think. You know, God is going to come and everything is going to turn around and be hunky-dory, and all the ones that are truly ready will be raptured. No, it will not be that way. And we get into a lot of trouble because we say it won't be that way. You're going to have to face the fact, and I am not going to give you a lecture on Jesus the Christ versus Buddha the Christ versus. But you have to understand that there have been reasons for us writing on many, many subjects and having guests here who share recommending writings which have gone back and researched and brought forth some historical information. Nora has been at it now for years and years and years, and here some of it does make it into the papers. So we're blessed. On the other hand, you kind of walk into the midst of a room full like this, and all over the world there are roomfuls like this, and on Sunday morning they're massive roomfuls. But what are they waiting for? What are they doing? They are teaching false doctrine. That's the plan. That is the plan. And yet, if you've never been exposed to truth, and truth is so simple, it is so simple. Nobody's going to save you. Nobody's going to rapture you. And the first person that's going to have to forgive you for your indiscretion is yourself. You can't hang that load on a man that was murdered 2,000 years ago. So we talk about Christianity. You should call it Jesusian, because it doesn't quite fit the Jesuit. But you will all remember that Judge Gamble finally said in his courtroom, and this was after Mr. Abbott and George Green met with the press, and they put all of this stuff about Dorma calls herself Jesus Christ. She might call herself a lot of things, but that would be the last one, see. She would not choose that one. So this is the one that they thrust in front of Judge Gamble, and he finally can't stand anymore, and he said, I will no longer tolerate this kind of disrespect to Jesus Christ in this courtroom. Off with all your heads, see. Why is this an important term, however? It is because most of your judicial system now has a hidden agenda built into the Masonic order. And I'm not talking about the nice Masons who have social hospitals, service club. Most of the ones who have ever gone into Masonry have gone into it like you or anyone else in this room would go into Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, Elks Club, Moose Lodge. It's an opportunity to get together with your brothers and do a little bit of good in your community and be in the parade and have conventions. And somewhere way back there, they think that they, you know, have a nice foundation somewhere. But by the time they get to be 33rd degree Masons, they've begun to get the idea, if they paid any attention. But most don't pay any attention. It's like a game. We go in and you're going to swear your oath unto Lucifer. Well, who the hell is Lucifer? Oh, well, he is a good guy. The morning star, you know, come on. Doesn't matter who he is. Just raise your hand and let's play. Let's play this game. Well, when it gets on beyond the game playing, it gets serious. And part of the Khazarian or Zionist, Jewish is all I know to call it, because this is what the lawyers will call themselves. I am Jewish. Jason Brent will advertise. Not only is he a shark, but remember, he was advertising for his Jewish brothers to join in this club here in Tatchpe. I don't know. I guess the Baptists could advertise for Baptists, but I want to tell you, if you white people got out there and advertised for whites, or you black people got out there and advertised it only blacks, see, you'd get hanged. Well, Jason Brent never seems to even get smart. He gets away with it. But I don't think he really, really does. And one of the dumbest things I've ever seen was putting that shark on his advertisement. But doesn't it tell you everything you need to know about this Mensa genius? But doesn't it scare you to death to know that this is the very one who is a cohort of your opposition? It's scary. You better believe it's scary. And we don't take these things lightly. Because of Dave, the murderers are on the blame street while they would literally consider putting EJ and Dorma into prison for writing about God. Now, that's how serious it is. Well,
I told Jack McGlam that yesterday at the march.
Yes.
He looked at me and he said, for writing on light, what? He said, you mean I have to worry if I write on light I might get arrested?
As long as he continues to play with Bo Greitz and George Green and Timothy Binder. So we'll have a little report on that in a little bit. Bruce has written a very nice one. It's a little awkward and hard for Dorma to get around to seeing the humor in this. And we have a very serious meeting here today. I'm going to get you ready. And you see, we haven't met except on business matters in such a long time that I hesitate to even bring up business matters. But we're going to have to talk about a few things here because I think that EJ was wrong. You see, EJ was not cooking up anything for the next weekend. Dorma had finally said to Court, we need to get over there because I need to catch up, Court, with some more advanced information. We need to know how to go into court if we end up with an attorney leaving us. Let's just say it that way. We're not firing anybody or anything like that, but these attorneys are scared to death. They are scared to death because they are threatened with their license. They are being, Brad Ellie is up for two motions against him for unethical, I suppose you'd say procedures. Horton is trying to say he's not even eligible to have been hired by these corporations to defend them, and that he was. Well, Mr. Horton is the one who, for a second time, and I don't know how many of you know what goes on, you know, in July, goodness, I've even lost track of your years. Ever so many hundreds of thousands of years ago, George and Horton, etc., got together, and they managed to move what we will refer to the Sherry Corporations, because she is involved in them, although not anymore. They moved them to a agency in Reno, Nevada. And then came the taking of the books out of the agency by Betty Tootin. All right, now we can just zoom right on by that, as unlawful as that was. It all got sorted back around, but Horton never quit pressing that. So some charges were brought, and all that was asked of Betty Tootin was to stop the bad-mouthing, get those corporation books back. It isn't that we needed them. They'd already been replaced in the entire corporate structure redone. But when you people went up in November to Carson City and witnessed David Horton's face when E.J. walked in, you would have thought he had been struck dead. He just blanched. He could hardly sit there, and he was rattled. Well, I kept saying, you better check, you better check, you better check. Sure enough, got back, and oh no, we've seen it. Everything was taken care of. Go check. I want it in writing, and I want at least three different sources checking it. Oh, you are a nasty, rotten nag, Commander. And what did they find? They had not only done it again, this time they had moved Betty Tootin into Las Vegas and made her the agent. Now, why would they do that? Why would they run such a stupid risk? Well, what Horton planned to do that day was to say, Your Honor, there is no way this lady could be guilty of picking up the books unlawfully because, look, sir, she is the agent. So it's been a long few years, hasn't it? But look, the first time could have been ignorant blunder, couldn't it? The second time is an intentional breaking of the law. Well, can a person represent a corporation? Yes. Well, how do you do it? Well, I could spend the next 2 hours telling you how to do it, but I would prefer you go over and you find out from corporate headquarters. But I want you to think carefully whether or not all of you want to rush over there and do this or not, because I have a feeling that Court will be right back over here the week following. I hope he will come. I hope that Ron will come. I hope that we can have an incredible week after that weekend, because Eustace Mullins is flying out to attend the corporate headquarters as our guest, and Brent will know more about that than we do, but he will be coming on over here. Little Crow could not come to that court date because he was sitting with a brother who was dying and did die. And I guess we can sit back and say that was more worthy than sitting in Coyle's court. Little Crow will come that week also, at least for one day. And I want you people to hear from his lips what he has to say about what has happened to him through this winter. I have put Dorma through much of the same thing, only without the physical necessity of just taking her out of the picture. We had Little Crow dead for some 6 days, and I Josh Knopp. Their missions are the same. Their missions are different. All of you have known each other for many, many, many travels back and forth. Some of you have to serve now. Some of you will serve later. All of you have to be informed. I have taken the liberty of suggesting that we listen to Little Crow's tape that he made at his first gathering back with his people, because I respect him so much, and he had just come back from 106 to 107 degree fever for 6 days, drained, different, not even recognizing himself. But he was healed of every mutated cell, and he's a different entity. And I want you all to experience his tape with us here, because I honor him. And don't try to go forth and explain these things. We will now transfer it onto our tape so that it can go out to anyone who receives the word. It is so much better to hear it from him than to try to explain it about him. And then we need to talk a little bit about what we plan for the Constitutional Law Center. We have experienced Mr. Miller's tapes, but I agree, there are some much more knowledgeable people around. And I don't want any of you running out there flapping flags at anybody. You don't know what you're doing, and that is what's wrong with so many things that are attempted. But you have groups pocketed all around who literally know more than David Miller. And it needs to be a bit better organized so that you can share back and forth ideas. And you start by doing your paperwork correctly. So let us just talk about Dave for a minute. Yes, he ought to bring some kind of charges back against them for incarcerating him without reason. And you're in where you cannot even get about to do anything about it. And it's, oh well, TUS, sorry about that. Just like Simpson, destroy the life. Destroy any way of recovery. And, well, that's tough. So we're not talking about anything as big as O.J. Simpson. But we will talk about O.J. Simpson before we're through with the CLC. And yet we cannot continue to run the CLC as if it's just another branch of the Admiralty Court. But you can't go in to Judge Coyle and flap your flag and say, I got your flag. Down with you, Admiral. Number one, we're not that disrespectful of the system and we're not that stupid. Why would you do that? You don't have to do that. To begin to bring change in your own behalf. And you noticed how hard Coyle was being pushed. He was literally biting his lip. And he'd try to interrupt, and she wouldn't let him. And he had to be gracious. Do you understand? That is the law. He has to listen. Rick got away with a lot in there. And you don't know what you did for Rick. You see, you got Rick's next meeting postponed into infinity. No courtrooms available. Did anybody notice that court building so full that you couldn't cram in a 10-minute Rick Martin hearing? Come off it. That poor sucker doesn't know what to do. And when they handed that Okilo stuff up there to him, that little clerk said, that's the Rick Martin. And did anyone notice how he put it over here? Those people have a problem. But will injustice win? Well, we'll see. But you people now have to understand. You know, for instance, Gene will say, there is no way this won't work. And it didn't. It worked for what? 6 seconds? We have to begin to be able to defend ourselves. And you are going to have to learn to write succinctly. And Bruce is an English professor, and I want Zita back to work. She's an English major. And for the ones of you who did not experience the tape, I think that there were enough audio. Have you made audio tapes, or?
Yes.
Of the meeting the other day, you mean?
Yes. And all actually you need are just the audio tapes. It was just video of a man speaking. There were one or two diagrams, but don't worry about it. You'll be able to understand that. It is a start. I would not suggest going his way yet. If you push the river, you're going to get drowned because you don't know what you're doing. And this is what's happening all over, people just rushing in there to do something who don't know what they're doing. And until you know what you're doing, and this is something that Eckers don't have any problem with in the corporation jungle. They knew about corporations, and they knew about Nevada corporations, and it was they who structured it. And now court has just taken it and gone with it. And he has IRS advisors, and he has accountants, and he has offshore people. So go if you want to, but please know that we're going to try to bring some of these people back over here. Is there anything else that we need to cover about just ongoing things? We have visitors here. I'm not going to name them. You find your name in court somewhere. It beats anything I've ever seen. If we could ever get the word out as effectively as we get the underground out, we'll have her made. But one of the first things that I want to do is share Little Crow's tape, because we have got to move into spiritual understanding. That is the foundation upon which we are going to build. And then we're going to try to reclaim some good law.
Commander?
Yes.
Before we get into my favorite things like spiritual matters, and Little Crow is someone that the world should bow down to in reverence for what he is and what he talks about. Again, back on this experience I went through, it's important for you to know that that system doesn't care. The public defender, if you can call it that, that was working with me, even admitted that the people in New Mexico which is the new attorney general, the one that put out the warrant on me, of course, retired 4 years ago. So, you know, they're being real careful in New Mexico. But she told me, says they don't care if you're innocent.
No.
If there's any way they can keep you in the system and extradite you, they're going to do it. They just, the handwriting's on the checks, and my handwriting as comparison was so completely different. They knew they had no case. Of course, we proved that the first day I was in there. Sheriff at Lost Hills and a friend of mine did the homework to find it was San Juan County, New Mexico, called the sheriff there. They could have faxed the fingerprints that night. No match. I'd have been out. Instead, I go through 3 weeks of there trying everything they can to see if they can't pull me back there and convict me. I felt real sorry for other guys in that system who are stuck under that system where you could see that the public defenders work with the attorney generals to get convictions. And there were guys, you know, one guy was using the F word in court with his public defender up there, and the sheriff's going to caution him. And he says, hey, man, you're talking about my life. And they were. And his public defender was selling him out. I'd sit there and watch this. So these are the kind of things. Another thing I'll comment. And make sure your children know what they're going to experience when they get inside those places. Make sure they know they don't want to play with being illegal. And over half the people I talked to were in there because of crack cocaine. That's a bitter issue. Why don't George Bush take the rap for what he did to bring that into America?
Well, we're working on it. And Rick could probably make a report on that, too. We're all touched now. In this little town, we are having to look at the limitations that have come down and an entire swing around of what used to be your protection is no longer your protection. And I know that all of you right around here will know this, but our own precious little Pablo, his brother was murdered in his bed in Arizona last week. Pablo's been gone. And it looks like probably his girlfriend and a live-in man in that same house. And by the way, the little girl was 16 years old. Three bullets fired with her in the same bed, and she swears she didn't hear it. But of course, I mean, they're covered with blood. There's blood all over the house. But I'm talking about in your own little world. It's hitting your own little world. And it's frightening. And they don't care. Part of it is to live with themselves. You have to grow beyond caring. You have to get hard. And yet the major criminals are still running around outside. So you can see what has happened. And pretty soon you're not going to want to immigrate to a place like this. And pretty soon you'll do almost anything. And you'll believe what these idiots tell you. And you can see it now over something that is as insidious as what they set forth in the court papers. And Dorma and I have had some real hard times lately. It seems like if anyone else wants to complain about whatever Doris happens to be doing, it all slops over. It must be Commander. Or it must be her speaking for him. That's why I have cooled it. And until we work through some of these things, it's going to have to remain that way. And she'll live, and you'll live, and we'll all maybe make it through here. But I want to tell you, this is hard. This is really hard to go through these things. When you've got three papers that made it into contact, and you better believe it, I wanted them in there. You have to precipitate this. You have to face it and get it over with. And when one's bothered, and this is why that poor little Seymour was so crimson-faced and so embarrassed was when you start passing out the facts and the judge looks at them. And maybe we should do that before we go into Little Crow. Let's get this, let's get Satan out of the way before we go to God. Maybe Bruce would like to present the writing that he did. It pretty well covers it, and we can talk about it. It was amazing, and I'm so appreciative that you went. You can't change the system until you witness the system. And hopefully, EJ and Doris won't have to exist inside the prison like Dave did. They don't care whether you're innocent or guilty. Leave the murderers out on the street where it's easier to do drugs. It gets a little harder and more complicated once you're in the prison system. But look at the one lately. I don't even know which state, where they claimed that the inmates were going to tunnel out, and it turned out to be the wardens, the guards, had an extra kitchen and stuff where they could goof off back there and deal drugs. Maybe Bruce would share. We do need to talk about it because, especially you who are not there, need to know.
Here in Tehachapi, the negative energies were out in force during the three-day weekend, cutting a wide swath among truth students and their personal affairs and generally stirring up trouble. Then Sunday night, that's a week ago today, at precisely 5 p.m., the earth shook mildly for a short while, and on Monday, out of nowhere, it snowed. Elsewhere in Kern County, twisters were reported to have touched the earth along with mysterious lightning flashes. You had everything coming down, said a forecaster for the Bakersfield Californian, at the kitchen sink. So, the three dozen or so Chilas who were taking the trek to Fresno to see how truth would handle a federal judge out to get the Eckers welcomed Tuesday's clearing skies, which turned into an absolutely beautiful afternoon outside the courthouse. And the outer, in this case, reflected the inner. For the forces of darkness in their great and wise cleverness, I should say the title of this is Satan is Clever but Stupid. And the outer, in this case, reflected the inner. For the forces of darkness, in their great and wise cleverness, stupidly did in the George Green conspirators' cause, and exactly as predicted, exposed whatever may be left of the poor University of Science and Philosophy to further ridicule and public humiliation. And not too remarkably, they did it to themselves. God works in mysterious ways his wonders to perform. We've all heard that old expression, and of course, Commander continually reminds us that God's delays are not his denials. Well, it's true. And for all not fortunate enough to have been seated in Chief Judge Robert E. Coyle's courtroom last week, February 18th, at precisely 1:30 p.m., to hear a little girl's barely audible, "All rise for the honorable, blah, blah, blah," here's the scoop. This was the day God himself confounded the blasphemers of 1997, just as surely as three millennia ago he muddled the speech of the Babel Tower builders. Understand that this judge, having denied the services of a public defender to the Eckers, in a case where the plaintiffs had demanded a prison sentence no less, opened the afternoon by basically saying he'd already made up his mind and the Eckers were guilty. All he'd done, of course, is glance over a couple of the clever but stupid parallel columns the Green Brigade's Mark Williams, alias Rick Weber, or is it the other way around, threw together. Editorial comment. Hope you got a few grand up front for all your work, fella, because those promises you've been given of riches to come ain't going to happen. So sorry. And isn't it interesting, by the way, how long it takes some people to realize that dealing with liars and crooks never pays? The scumsuckers would sell their own mothers for peanuts. What the poor, overworked judge couldn't have anticipated is that the fancy-looking sightings of Hatton's phrases, besides Russell's, are shot full with inconsistencies, the shill who prepared it not really understanding the material he was citing. There's a few examples of that. And finally, this from the Divine Iliad, or that's actually from the Secret of Light, something about I am and all that, which is obviously not written by a human person. It's like something out of the Bible, practically. And that's in there as a supposed instance of a copyright violation, language which on the very face of it could in no way be attributed to any human agency whatsoever. Clever, but really quite stupid. Doris and E.J. faced two singularly ill-favored and Dickensian-looking gentlemen of the bar, in quotes, men who would do local sleaze Jason, sharks you bet, Brent, proud. Their old guy, Buchanan, sat curiously silent throughout, while their callow fellow, Seymour, proceeded to accuse the Eckers with great feeling of being willful, unrepentant, and incorrigible lawbreakers, quote, who must be stopped. A bit of projection, perhaps. Judge Coyle agreed. Now, the choice of the obviously less experienced junior partner as presenter contributed mightily to their defeat at the hands of truth, as we shall see, so it bears examining as an illustration of the clever but stupid principle. Ask yourself, what could have made this team so cocky as to open the game with their second string? What prior insider communication might they have received that convinced them there was no chance they could lose? Are we beginning to get a glimpse of how the club, the lawyers' fraternity, beats fairness out of today's courtrooms? And wait until the judge gets to see the whole charade in perspective, when he learns that these jokers are protesting great financial loss to the already beleaguered US&P from contacts continually plagiarizing from their works, but only offering for proof language that comprises less than 0.1% of the contacts' output during the period covered by their complaint. He cut EJ off when he tried to inform the court of this, all of which will no doubt make Mr. Coyle appear foolishly uncharitable come appeals time. He may look downright silly when it emerges that the actual president of US&P at the time did give full permission to contact to reprint anything they wanted from Russell. That Russell himself is on record all over the place as having wanted to share his insights freely, not, quote, protect them, as was untruthfully or ignorantly claimed by the obviously inexperienced and careless Seymour, and that Doris has never read the books in point, nor had she even heard of Walter Russell before the trumped-up brouhaha. These were all points he refused to allow to be made. Too bad. Anyway, things look grim at halftime, virtually nothing having been gained in the opening arguments. Moans from the Chilas over how badly things were going resounded in the hallway during the long wait till 3:30. But unbeknownst to anyone, another plan was in the works. Here's what actually happened. Things were nearly at an end. EJ had been beaten back, interrupted at every turn, prevented from presenting his witnesses, compelled to sit down. Our judge had mocked the idea of God speaking through a human, wasn't interested in anything Doris might have added. Junior Shark was berating...